wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coming to you live this July 18th, 2020. My, how time just flies right by, but we do welcome you, the remnant. We've got a full crew here. Good morning, Brother Tim.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
And good morning, Jason.
Morning.
And good morning, Brother John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Remnant. We welcome you. We know that you're out there with your Bibles and your coffee, and you're joining us on the radio and on the internet and on the call-in line. And so we do thank you for getting up this Saturday morning and joining us. And lots going on out there. I tell you, we just have to say exciting times, and that covers it. But it's that and so much more. And so, well, Brother John, if you'd open us up in prayer, we sure need to start there.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time that you set aside for us, your people, to come together and to encourage one another to love and good deeds. Lord, we ask that you guide and direct us, give us wisdom, understanding, and most importantly, discernment with regards to the things that are going on in the world today. Father, we realize that we're facing a crisis similar to that of Nineveh, Lord, and I believe that we're at a point in this country where it's not just 2 Chronicles 7:14 anymore. It's your people falling upon their face, crying out, asking for forgiveness, confessing our sins, and in an appeal to heaven for you to save America again. Father, I pray that you would convict each one of us that is a follower of Jesus Christ to take the time to hit our knees and to pray and to make the sacrifices to fast and to worship you and just to share your word with all those that we come in contact with. Ask you to send your ministering angels to minister to those that can come to repentance. Send your guardian angels to protect those that are yours, and your warring angels to battle Leviathan in the high places, as they know that their time is limited. Father, help us to hear you, the Lord, and to be obedient when we do. Continue to pray for the things that were done in the dark to be brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops. Continue to pray for you to send confusion into the camp of the enemy, that they might turn upon one another and devour one another. And Father, more than ever right now, we need righteous justice with regards to those that have perpetrated these wicked, vile deeds upon your people. It seems that there's not much sanity left in the world today, but your word is true, that in the last days that good would be called evil and evil would be called good. We understand the spiritual warfare we're in. We understand that there's no way to win this war in the physical realm, but it must be won in the spiritual realm. And you've given us all of those tools, the tools that you gave to our pastor to share with us over the years, as well as many others that have been given to us recently. Fathers, help us to be proficient with the use of each and every one of those weapons and tools that you've given us. Father, we do. We gird our loins with truth, and we shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We place the breastplate of righteousness on and the helmet of salvation on our head, and we lift up the sword of the Lord and the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the evil ones. Hear us, Lord, your people, as we cry out, Lord Jesus, save us. In your name we pray, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Remnant, we have the phone lines open this morning. If you'd like to join us for a bit, 307-745-5913. And just glancing at the headlines this morning, it's not hard to see that the violence just continues to escalate. We saw it this last week in New York, where the police commissioner that just a week or two ago was kneeling down and marching with the protesters, and they were buddies. And just this week, well, they beat him up pretty bad, him and some other ones. And when I saw that, it almost seemed like, well, you know, the police just took it. And that's, I guess that's how they've got them cowed down now, that they just take it. How dare you fight back against these terrorists, against these ungodly ones? And it's a sad state, I think, that we find ourselves in, that because of this lawlessness that abounds. The word tells us about that, about the times where lawlessness will abound, and that the heart of man will grow cold because of it. Certainly interesting times.
Yeah, amen. After last week's message exposing the occult rituals with regards to this face mask wearing, excuse me, here our governor just decided yesterday to enact a statewide mask rule, and they actually use the emergency broadcast system on your phone, and everyone received the warning with regards to having to wear a mask in any public place. And although there are some that dispute that you have to wear it in public outside, the reality is the law states that, or not the law, but the new mandate, executive order, if you will, states that you have to wear a mask in all public places. And this was interesting. I just saw this morning. Colorado town threatens up to a year in jail for not wearing a mask.
says, jail time in Colorado town for not wearing a mask. Inglewood, Colorado, a major suburb of Denver, has made it a crime to leave your home without wearing a mask. And crime means crime. They're not talking about a fine or a slap on the wrist. Anyone over 6 years old must wear a mask at all times, everywhere in public and in private businesses. And the punishment for breaking the law is up to a year in jail. By comparison, Colorado sentencing guidelines provide similar penalties for felonies like illegal weapons possession, forgery, theft, and failing to register as a sex offender. So basically what it's saying is anytime you leave your home, you have to wear a mask. And if you don't, we'll throw you in jail for a year in Inglewood, Colorado. So if you're listening, stay the hell out of Inglewood, Colorado.
Amen. Amen. I think your governor even only said 10-year-olds, over 10-year-olds. But it's interesting.
I know. This is 6 years old.
Yeah, it's really interesting how these little mini dictators and their mini dictatorships have, it's just empowered them to where they, mm-hmm. We just have to do more and more.
I honestly believe that they have their Zoom meetings, these governors and mayors and all that, and I think they try to outdo each other. Oh, yeah, you think you got a good one? Listen to this one. I'm going to throw them in jail for a year if they don't wear a mask. I honestly believe that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the female dog in Michigan is doing her best to win the prize.
Yeah, and out there, you know, she's the one that she comes out and she mandates and says, okay, everybody's got to wear a mask, and you know, there's going to be $1,000 fines and prison time and this and that. Meanwhile, she turns around and you know defunds the police department by $4 million in Grand Rapids, and then expects them to turn around and enforce her mandate. And I've talked to people in Grand Rapids, and they said that they go about their business, and they go in and they buy their coffee, and they go into the gas station, and they do their shopping without a mask, and you know haven't had any problems so far. So nobody's refused from service, and that's good.
Yeah, well, it ain't like that here in Colorado, I'll tell you that. A lot of these places, they're like Nazis. And you know what? Most of them are feminists with colored hair. And I had a laugh, though. There was an older gentleman who walked in his Ace Hardware the other day, and he had a bandana around his neck. And this little punk feminist was trying to tell him to put his mask on, and he just ignored her the whole time, you know, and got to the register, and she goes up there, and she says, sir, we're not going to ring you up unless you put your mask on. And he goes, what? You know, like he didn't even hear. And the manager came over and said, what are you doing? And they ended up ringing him up, and he got his stuff. But it's just, it's kind of comical, really, when you see the stance that some people are taking with regards to this mask thing.
Yeah, our local city commissioners met on Tuesday, and there were about 75 people out front with American flags telling them no mask, no mask. They voted 5-4 against creating a requirement for a face covering in Laramie. Of course, that vote didn't come till about 10:30 at night on Tuesday night. Now, you tell me how many people can hang around till 10:30 at night in a city commissioner's meeting. And so they pushed that off as long as they could, but 5-4. And, it's not over. It's not that, that's settled at all, because again, they just continue. They continue on. They grasp at straws. It, as the word says, my people do not understand with what is going on regarding this mask and the socialist distancing requirements. You see so many conflicting, reports. One thing that, and Jason, I think you brought it up earlier in the year, but that, more and more people are looking at homeschooling. And realizing that is a very viable alternative. Of course, you don't get that from the media. You know, the media puts out that, oh, the parents are just so worried and they're demanding that, that the children be, you know, school be back in and all that. I saw one thing with the public school system in, I think it was, in Milwaukee. They talked about, if they have to provide this socialist distancing on school buses, that they will have to buy, for the number of students they have, they'll have to buy another, like 112 school buses at $80,000 to $90,000 a piece. Just to meet these guidelines. And there's no school district in the nation that can do that. And so
Well, you see, de Blasio came out and said, well, we're not going to have school, but what we're going to do is set up child care for 100,000 plus children and, you know, set them up in our libraries and in different areas, you know, with social distancing. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's a good idea, so that they can have their drag queen story hours. And so, yeah, the good news is there is a lot of parents that are waking up. I know quite a few parents who are not going to send their kids back to school, even if, even in Christian schools, if it's just an online curriculum.
Well, yeah, why bother with that? And you know, they continue to. I think that what we're seeing here is like this total sowing of confusion into the enemy's ranks as far as the trade for it. I think it's one of those things when we look at it. They're this way, that way, homeschool, stay home, wear masks, you know, you have to do this and that. I think Americans are just, they're done with the propaganda and a lot of the stuff. I mean, we see, if you watch on the news, you see all this positive stuff for the powers that be, you know, ideals. But the truth of the matter is, just like you said about the guy in Ace Hardware, or we go downtown and see all these people. There's another group of lawyers all the way across the nation who just set up now for the mask. And they're No Mask is the name of the website. But basically, it's all pro bono work for it. If you're arrested or incarcerated or your business has been fined or anything for opening your business, they're like, hey, get with us. It's all pro bono. We're tired of this. It's not legal. It's not constitutional. And we'll fight it. You know, and I see, and we're not talking about one or two attorneys here. I mean, they're all the way across the United States and they're just getting geared up. So,
that's good.
There's a whole group of people out there that are really, I thought it was interesting. Walmart and several other big companies just passed, they just came down yesterday with the fact starting Monday all the way across the United States. And every Walmart store, you have to wear a mask in order to shop. Target, Kroger, there's several others that have joined into that, thanks to the International Retailers Group. But, the point is, we see that going on, but there's outfits out there that are setting up and flooding them with emails. I guess Walmart has had so many emails in the last 2 days that they don't even know what to do with them about people who are really upset over this whole mask thing. We're not going to shop there anymore. We're not going to do this or that. They can't handle the influx. It's like, well, praise God. You know, I think that people are just waking up to, God teaches us our lessons, and God's not done with Americans out there. There's a lot of people that are asleep in their church pews, so to speak. And I think we're seeing that. That's just their wake up call, you know, and the propaganda and the, destruction of their livelihood. It's like, well, you want to sit on the nest and not make a peep? You know,
I know how to end this thing overnight, though. You want to know how to end this mask thing overnight? Everybody put on a Trump 2020 mask and they'll stop that mandate overnight.
Amen.
I just ordered a bunch of them, so.
Good.
Not that I'm planning on wearing them, but it might be worthwhile just for a few minutes just to see the reaction you have.
Yep. Amen.
They might not be able to breathe even with their mask on.
Well, like I was saying, Jason and I were in Old Town, I don't know, a couple weeks ago. Richard met us, too, and there's some punk riding a skateboard with a mask on and a cardboard sign that he made saying, I can't breathe. And the first thought that came to my mind, well, take your damn mask off, and you might be able to breathe.
Exactly.
Yeah, the farmers markets have geared up, and they, you know, even though they're outside, they've put out that they request masks. And went to the one yesterday late afternoon here in downtown, and I would say about 70% of the people had masks on. But there were...
That's the scary thing.
It is.
People are believing the lie.
And that's right here in Little Laramie. And so we didn't. There were several other individuals and families that, you know, that were just ignoring it and didn't have masks on. And there wasn't anybody walking around asking you. You know, the mask police were not out. So that was I don't know if that was a good thing or not. I saw a thing that said, you know, they talk about that you don't have to wear a mask if you suffer from a medical condition. And then according to the HIPAA laws, they can't ask you about your medical condition. So I was thinking if I got asked, I could let them know, I suffer from Liberty-itis. It's been around for, at least in this country, since about 1775. And it has resulted in many deaths, but we still believe in it. And it really is just going to come down to the people. You know, we as a people just want to get along. We do. It doesn't work, but that's what we've always tried as a people. Just, you know, you do your thing. I'm going to do mine. Don't bother me. I'm not going to bother you. But the enemies are not that way. The enemies of God's people, our enemies, they aren't that way.
You got to clarify that, though. We don't mess with their life, liberty, or pursuit of happiness unless it goes against God's laws, commandments, and statutes. Otherwise, we're no better than the rest of the world that becomes accepted and tolerant of sin under the guise of grace. So you have to clarify that.
Well,
we're not going along with ungodly.
What I mean by that, John, no, not us personally, but as a nation, that's how we have become as a people. And that's the problem. And that's what I'm saying is that we have become complacent. We have put up with the queers. We got a queer governor in Colorado. Exactly. We have, as a people, put up with the cross-dressing perverts that want, do their best to commit pedophilia in teaching and reading to our, as a nation, children in the libraries. We have put up with that. And it reminded me in 1 Saul 11, it's when King Saul comes on the scene. We had that same thing. That same thing happened. 1 Samuel 11, it was Nahash the Ammonite came up and besieged Jabesh-Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said to him, make a covenant with us and we will serve you. And so they said, yep, you came up, you're bigger and mightier than us, and you've besieged us, and just make a covenant with us, we'll serve you. You know, we will get along, is what the people said. But Nahash the Ammonite said to them, I'll make it with you on this condition. I will gouge out the right eye of every one of you. Thus, I will make it a reproach on all Israel. And you know what the people said? Well, give us a week. We'll talk about it, and if, you know, nobody comes up to deliver us, then it says, then if there's no one to deliver us, we will come out to you. So they said, okay. And if you look at it on a grand scale, I think that's what this country has done, is that they have on a grand scale said, okay, we'll sacrifice our life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness for you ungodly, for you sinners, so that we can accept you into our nation. And that has happened. That has happened. And no, has our right eye been gouged out? No. No. But you know, the sins that are in this land, the filth that comes out of Hollywood, the injustice and unrighteousness that comes out of most of the government, it just abounds. It really does. But this whole story here in 1 Samuel, Saul comes out. Verse 8 says, "Now behold Saul," and I couldn't help think that Saul was just an old cowboy, because you read it here. It says, "Saul was coming from the field behind his oxen." See, he's out plowing. He's not sitting up in a big fancy house. No, he's out still working. And it says, he comes out with his oxen and says, what's the matter with the people that they're weeping and crying out? It says, they related to him the words of the men of Jabesh. Then the Spirit of God came upon Saul mightily when he heard these words, and he became very angry. And that is what we need to happen to the men in this nation, is that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, needs to come upon them and make them very angry. And until that happens, I just think it will continue. And it may come to where, we found now that, the COVID-21, though everybody's been wearing their mask, and that's good, but COVID-21, see, now it affects your eyes. And if you have two eyes, then, you're just going to die, you're going to affect everybody. So we're going to have to pluck one eye out. You can wear an eye patch and pluck one eye out, and then everybody will be safe. I wouldn't doubt if that's not what's next. We know that everything our enemy gets comes from the Word, and there is no stopping them until they are just stopped, until they're told no, until the men act like Saul, and the Spirit of God comes upon them mightily. It says mightily.
Yeah, well, Jason, you got a couple stories there of. Members of the body in Portland area and also here locally.
It's not getting a whole lot of national news, but a couple days ago I was talking with a gentleman that lives in Salem, Oregon, which is about an hour outside of Portland, Oregon, and he often works in Portland, Oregon. Truck driver, construction worker, been there a long time, and they're to the point where they have all their stuff packed up, ready to go. Trailers loaded, mags loaded, and got a system set up with the neighbors, and everybody's basically in contact with each other, knows where everybody is, because they're on, last week when I talked to them, they were on day 46 of riots and protests every day, and every day there's other, more buildings burned down, there's more chaos, there's more shootings. It's gotten out of control, and I mean, they're ready. People have bought fifth wheels and campers and trailers and loaded up their personal belongings and their survival gear, and they're ready to bug out. It's times are changing, and they're very concerned about it, and they said, at this point, they're not ready to leave, but it might come a time where they might have to get out of there quick. Changing times, and it's they thought that they got far enough out of the city where they were, they were protected, and they didn't think it'd come to a town near them. Here locally in LaPorte, Colorado, there's this, Antifa stuff and this stuff being painted all over the place.
Yes.
I lived right down the road from where John used to live, and right across the street from where John was, there was they were tagging a building with Antifa stuff, and they were doing it in the broad daylight, and they got run off at gunpoint. Then down the road up Risk Canyon, which we're rural. I mean, we're not in the city. We're not where you would expect it. There were signs that were graffitied and defaced. And then right down the road from that, right over there by one of my buddy's houses, they pulled into the driveway, got in there through a locked gate somehow, came in a back road, and shot a barn up. And, it's real. And, now's not the time to be buying a sword because you can't hardly find anything and you can't find anything to put in it. And I had, you know, had a guy call me, he'd been bugging me from Loveland this last week, and he wanted an AR-15, wanted an AR-15. I'm like, well, tough, dude. It's not the time to be buying one. And you can't get one. It's gotten out of hand on a lot of fronts.
Yeah, I was just reading here while we were talking this morning. Breaking news: Portland Antifa and BLM launch explosives at federal buildings while barricading agents inside. So they're putting fence panels and tie wrapping them or whatever to the door handle. So they're blocking the exits and then firing explosives into these federal courthouses and justice centers in Portland, Oregon. So, I mean, and this has happened before. You don't see much of it in the news, but basically some of these police departments, before they firebomb them, they're trying to lock the officers into the police stations before they burn them. So, I mean, if that's not murder, I don't know what is.
Well, it's part of the socialist and, destruction of America. Go ahead, Jay. Sorry.
And, well, it's one of those things, too. It's like you look at, you know, it's they're not really talking about it a whole lot, but it's, you know, they had it out there in Portland where they tried to grab Portland and I think it was over there outside of Seattle, outside of Chaz, but the police actually tried to arrest some people, and the mobs just came up and they beat the cops back and got the guy out, and the guys took off. And you know, the police say that, you know, they know who he is and they're going to find him. Well, yeah, whatever. I don't put any faith in that either.
This was funny. Watch this video. BLM replaces torn down statue with one of their own, gets hauled away in the dumpster the next day. An artist replaced a statue that was toppled in the UK last week with a resin statue of a Black Lives Matter protester. And someone... In fact, I know someone who has a truck just like this with a grapple. Drove off with a grapple, picked it up by the head, and threw it in the dumpster.
Yeah.
You know, is one of the things that I thought of today, waking up, I thought about the scripture. I think it's Revelation, I think this is 16, and I think it's 17, verse 17. Let me read this one, see if this is it. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes so that he will not walk about naked and men will not lose shame. And they gathered them together, and in this place, maybe it was 15, 14, for the spirit of the demons.
That's a good one, too, though.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Clothed.
And the seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the air, and a loud voice came out of them, out of the temple from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder, and there was a great earthquake such as there had not been since man came to be upon the earth, so that the great earthquake was it, and so mighty. The great city was split. This is the one I was looking for. 19. The great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Babylon the Great was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of a fierce wrath, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And huge hailstones, about 100 pounds each, came down from heaven upon men, and men blaspheming God because of the plague of hail and because of the plagues. It was extremely severe. You know, the thing that it got me is thinking about, you know, that's what, you know, me and Dad used to always talk about, the fall of Babylon. It was the fall of Babylon, and you know, he could give you a really good explanation in why he thought Babylon was going to turn against itself and it was going to be our enemies fighting each other. Have to look at some of the stuff and look into that more, but I've always thought that that was the way that it was going to be, that it was, you know, it was going to be them fighting each other. And, you know, that's what we're seeing. I mean, you know, people can say, oh yeah, I support our police you know, you know, we don't need to defund them. Well, you know what? You know, Waco, 1993, we needed to defund them then. Oklahoma City bombing, 1995, we needed to defund them then. Ruby Ridge, 92, we needed to defund them then. You know, when they spend millions of dollars and track your cell phone and make it mandatory in Michigan to grab your cell phone when they pull you over and put it in and look at, download your contact list and download every text message and every voicemail and clone your phone and spend millions of dollars on information trying to do stuff like that. Yeah, we should have defunded them then also. You know, it is, you know, time and time again. Have they overstepped their bounds? Absolutely. And, you know, they are we paying too much in taxes? Absolutely. You know, they do need defunded, but at the same time, you know, it is, you know, it's the enemies, it's this other group of enemies that is attacking them. You know, recently here in just down the road from us, Jax, which, you know, Jax is, the owner lives locally and we've got a couple Jax stores locally, but it is a nationwide, they got stores all over and, well, not all over, but they got them in Nebraska, Iowa, and Colorado. And they came out and they took out this, you know, basically when the gun control stuff started happening years ago, they were one of the first ones that came out and said, okay, well, we're not going to sell AR-15s, and they're never going to be sold in our store. Well, you know, made up her mind, and, you know, didn't want to ever go back to the store for anything, but, you know, never bought a gun from them again. And, you know, that was a way of protest, and I know a lot of people that did the same thing. Well, they came in this last week, and they used to carry a line of gear that was called Thin Blue Line. And basically it's got a blue line through it, and it supports, you know, all the money, the proceeds go to, you know, police officers and, you know, their families. They've got a white line and they've got a red line. Red line's for firefighters, white line's for, I think, nurses. And, you know, it's just a way of showing support and stuff like that. Well, anyway, they came out and they didn't tell anybody, which was interesting about it. They didn't tell anybody, but they removed all of the Thin Blue Line products. And there was a couple people that, you know, contacted them in writing and said, hey, what happened to the Thin Blue Line gear? Well, we did not want to be offensive to anybody, and we want all of our products in our stores to be inclusive for everyone. And
take Jax off the list.
Yep, exactly. And that's what, and I'll tell you what, there was outrage. Like, there were 300 people in the community out here that says, well, you know what, gonna have to drive a little farther, but ain't doing any business with Jax.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. And see, that's what it's coming down to. It's coming down to who, not really who you're going to serve, but what are you going to support? Because and I agree with you 100%, Jason, the police are far from perfect. But it is a representation of proper authority in this land. And that's what these terrorists, these Antifa, these BLM that are trained Marxists, their leaders come out and tell you. See, there's no denying it. It's just, there's the facts that they stand for the destruction of America, the destruction of the education system, of the police departments, of law and order. They stand to destroy that. They are socialist, out to destroy America. And we're seeing that. Because they are, you know, almost blackmailing these police, and these other places to get rid of their support for the police. And those that bow down to that, let me tell you, I bought at Jax about a month ago, I bought four of those Thin Blue Line flags. And I've got one on my truck, and I've got one on my wife's car, and I put one on my friend wanted one on his van. And it, you know, I agree with you 100%, Jason, on how the police, with everything you said, how they've overstepped their bounds and all that. But guess what? I support them over mob, over Antifa, over the destruction of America. And, yep, well, no more Jax. I sure liked stopping by there on Sunday after church and with the kids and getting the children and getting an ice cream and walking around, but we'll just find somewhere else to go. And that's what these people need to realize. If, you know, what's the old Aaron Tippin song? You got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. And that's what so many in our society are doing, individuals and business owners. They don't want to offend. Funny. They don't want to offend. Well, guess what? God offends.
All these people that shop in those places are not the Black Lives Matter people. I got news for you, idiots.
No. Yeah. Absolutely.
But I thought this was interesting too. These lawyers around the country gotta be chomping.
You know, I really didn't support them either when they were arresting my brother on dog at large. You know, that's another thing.
Yeah.
It's like they've kind of there's a lot of things. You can go down the list. The list can go longer and longer, and we can go on and on.
Right.
But
I was telling Jody.
Yeah.
I got arrested for dog at large. Maybe it'll be not for wearing a mask now.
Yeah. Well, and you have to understand too that a lot of what that is that's by their demon rat leadership that's required of them. Because I think John, even when you asked that guy, didn't he say that it was pretty ridiculous having to do that?
Oh, absolutely. Those guys, when they had me cuffed in the car, they basically called their commander and said, "Do we really have to do this?" And he said, "Yeah, because it says shall arrest, not may arrest."
And see, that's
shall means you will do it.
That's that Democrat, left-wing, liberal, faggot, queer, demented mindset, rulers and leaders. I was reading the Governor Polis, your filthy faggot queer governor down there in Colorado, the press release that he made on this mask, executive order or whatever yesterday. And you read it, and then you have to realize this is coming from someone that has been given over to a demented mind. He is not thinking right. This stuff may sound good, but the foundation is filth in all that. And that's where most of, I think, that, that mess with the police is. It's because of the filth of their leadership. And the foundation that they have.
I brought out last week I honestly think that this mask wearing is, an occult ritual. And these people are being taken in by this occult ritual because they're turning into mask Nazis, for lack of a better word.
Yes.
Basically, they created this snitch colony and, in fact, that they're doing that here, too. I was pleasantly surprised to see that the county commissioner in Weld County, which is just east of us, said that they will not be enforcing the governor's mask law. So that was encouraging. Did you see here the lawyers across the country got to be chomping at the bit because Seattle City Council members suggest firing all white officers in massive reduction of police department because they just voted to defund their police in Seattle by 50%. And now they're saying that we need to fire all the white police officers. You know that the attorneys across the country are chomping at the bit for that.
Yes.
Yeah, no kidding. No, it was interesting. I had a couple places that I had to go yesterday to get some supplies and everything, and I hung my mask over off, and I didn't put it on. And every place that I went into, oh, sir, you got to put your mask on, blah, blah, blah. So I put my mask on because it's like I had to get my stuff done, and I didn't want to turn it into a fight there. And I went into Win Electric, electrical supply house, and I walked in, did the and I went into there, and Robbie looks at me, and he's like, "You don't need that in here." And there wasn't a single person in the place wearing a mask. And I'm like, "Oh, thanks." And he's like, "No problem, brother."
Right.
And I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah, and it's another way to divide Americans. It's another way. It's what the enemy does. They're playing 3D, four-level chess, and it's what they do. I like how you said that, John, that there's so many that are taken in by this. They're taken in by the spell, and they don't realize it. And that's a big difference. You know, if you, like you said, Jason, you understand this. So, you know, if you have to go in a store and, you know, the Bible tells us to, as much as it's up to us, to be at peace with all men. you know, go in, get your stuff, get out, have your mask on. That's it. You're not taken in by the spell, but the masses are. They are. Guys, let's try the phone line here this morning. Let's take a phone call real quick.
We're going to...
Good morning, caller. Hey, good morning.
I think, you know, and I totally agree with this thing that the pastor had a message one time, and it was basically, the enemy of your enemy is not necessarily your friend. Okay?
Yeah, exactly.
And when when the demon, the quote, demon rat is not there anymore, or the quote, liberal is not there anymore, or the quote, socialist is not there anymore, and your supposed friend, the Republican, or the conservative is in office, and he does the same thing to you, or when that thin blue line guy comes and claps you in prison, you know, then you're going to realize that you've fallen into this dialectic where they create thesis, antithesis, you know, Democrat, Republican, conservative, blah, 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 law and order, anarchy, blah, blah, blah. And then they come up with their solution. Yeah. But anyway, what I'd like to mention just briefly on a little bit more upscale to sort of end this thing with good news. Has any of you heard of someone named Bridger Walker? Okay, basically,
no, I don't think so.
Basically he stepped in front of a dog. A vicious dog, and who chomped onto his jaw, and he ended up with 60 stitches or something like that. And to save this woman, well, that's not quite the story. The woman was actually a 4-year-old little girl, and Bridger Walker is 6 years old, and he stepped in to save his sister.
Wow. Yeah, that was right over in Cheyenne. Bill?
Yeah, right up in Wyoming.
Yeah, right next
door. And
of course,
the showbiz whores are jumping in on this because he liked this one superhero supposedly. I'm sure that's a Christian family. I'm sure they're not reporting that. They're dancing around that. But anyway, his aunt claims that he said, well, if someone was going to die, it was going to be me.
Right.
And I thought of that. And I think that's a really heartening sign of where we are, and that we've got a little 6-year-old who would do that. And I thought of this scripture: "Greater love hath no man."
Oh. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Bill. Have a great
weekend. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks.
Yeah.
Guys, we got one more caller here. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, Richard. Cannon, Wisconsin. Good morning to all of you, and I hope you're having a great day. You're having a great program. I couldn't help myself. I got to get this in. I went to my favorite store last week, and which, of course, has sporting goods in it, you know. And I went back there, and I got in a good conversation. I know all these guys. Got a good conversation. I asked him, I says, by the way, have you gotten any guns in lately? And the guy says, yeah, last week, we got a shipment in of 42 guns. Well, that's pretty good. He says, and three of them were AR-15s, Springfield. Now, I'm sure you guys know that Springfield, they're not cheap. They start at $800 and go up. And he said, they 3 hours they were there and gone. And he says, we didn't get any ammunition in yet at all. He says, and now even the 380s, the 40s, and the 45s are all gone too. So I just had to throw that in to the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Ken, I've gotten that same report out of Ohio. I've got a friend here through the volunteer fire department. She said her mom finally broke down and went to buy a pistol here about a month ago. Had to go to 4 towns in Ohio to find a firearm and ammunition. because they were the it was like old Mother Hubbard who went to the cupboard and the cupboard was bare. And that was four different places in Ohio. And we're hearing that. You know, the last 2 months, everybody just thought Obama was the greatest gun salesman in our history. The last 2 months have blown those out of the water. It has been that way, and I like how you said, Jason, it's almost too late. I think it's almost too late.
Hey, I have one more to add to that, too.
Sure, Ken.
I went on Barry Bullitt's website this morning, and I don't know if Jason's ever heard of Barry Bullitt, say, for reloading. Wow. They're an excellent bullet and priced right, too, and they're a big outfit, and they started their website out with an apology because we are trying hard to restock all the businesses that carry our bullets, and we just cannot keep up. We weren't expecting this to happen. So
yeah,
we're seeing
at least one company out there is absolutely trying to furnish their products to the stores where they're sold, and so I don't know what's going on out there. This is worse getting as bad as Obama when he took all the ammunition off. So I don't know where it's going from here. I got mine.
I think the good thing is it's. I think people are buying it. people have it now.
Yeah.
Well, Ken, thanks so much, brother.
You could.
All right, Richard. All right. You guys have a great day, and God bless you all.
You too. God bless.
Thanks, Jason. You got that story I sent you about Russia basically sending in parts to convert AR-15s to full auto to
China.
The BLM and Antifa. And if you've noticed, I don't know if you noticed, but if you've been watching any of these videos of the protests, a lot of these Black Lives Matter people are now carrying heavy arms, AR-15s and such. In fact, there in Georgia, there was a couple thousand, I believe, black men who say that they're, I won't say the name of their group, but it's, starts with an F, around group. And, they were basically, parading through, the suburbs and demanding reparations from white people. And, I don't know if you saw this too, but Tennessee is looking at passing a law to, increase property taxes, or actually to reevaluate property taxes based on the value of your home. So if you have a nice home, you're going to be paying more taxes. Some are like a 300% increase. And if you have, basic home, then you'd probably be paying less taxes. But all it is the redistribution of wealth. But I'm going to let you go ahead and share what you know about that, Jason.
No, it was, and it was actually China's where the weapons were coming into, weapons parts,
right.
Part to convert AR-15s into full automatics, basically suppressor parts. There's the whole list. The list goes on and on. And they've had several shipments that have been seized, but that's where they're figuring out that all this stuff is going is to these different terrorist organizations, and they're, sending it in. Immigrations, Custom Enforcement has been grabbing thousands and thousands and thousands of parts. So, I mean, pallets of stuff. They open it up, and it's supposed to be pins for calibration, or it's this for equipment processing. And, they start, everything's packaged, really different. There's no nothing on it. And then there's rails and barrels and I mean, just all kinds of stuff in there. And, so basically that's one of the things that's going on is they're funding the terrorism and the downfall of America. And that's, it goes back to what I was saying for months ago. This is war. It's war. I mean, that's what you do in war. You supply your troops with weapons. They supply their troops with weapons. It is what it is.
Amen.
Yeah.
Guys, we got time for
remember too.
Got time for one more phone call.
Kristi Noem in our prayers as well. She's the only governor in all of the 50 states who did not shut the country down, shut her, the state down. And even after Donald Trump's 4th of July speech at Mount Rushmore, their coronavirus numbers continue to go down. And you know that that's got to be driving them crazy.
Oh, it is. It is. The media's against them. We've got time for a quick phone call. Caller, good morning.
Yes, hello.
Hey, good morning, Joe. We've got about a minute.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I had a number of things I wanted to talk about because of your conversation this morning, but right now I remember Ken talking about ammo. Well, there's one possible out on this, and that is to learn how to reload your own cartridges. And if you have access to a good down-home type of range with a friendly range master, he will definitely, at least recently, he will allow you to go through all the spent casings and pick out the ones that are reloadable. And if you have a guy that will, you know, give you or sell you some wheel weights, then you're pretty well set for that kind of thing. And at the start, I would get the Lee loaders because they have the carbide dies, which do not require lubrication. That's all I had to say, I guess.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, brother. God bless.
Thanks,
have
Joe.
A great weekend. Yeah, that's true. It seems like we've been hearing that for a while. Again, it's if you can get it, if you can still get it. Well, guys, we're about out of time. I want to thank everybody for joining us. Thank you, Remnant, for tuning in and for the calls. And we'll invite you to join us at church tomorrow. You can do that at scriptures4america.org, starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and 7:30 for you West Coasters. And we do. We invite you to church. Come and don't forsake the assembly. We are gathering without masks, and as we have been, I think, as you've said, John. So we do welcome you. And again, thanks for joining us. Keep us in your prayers. Remnant, we keep you in our prayers, that you're protected, that you're provided for, and that you grow closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Guys, we'll see you at church tomorrow.
When you feel like there's a sign there on your back, says I don't mind if you kick me, seems like everybody has. Things go from bad to worse, you think they can't get worse than that, and then they do. You step off the straight and narrow and you don't know where you are. Use the needle of your compass to sew up your broken heart. Ask directions from a genie in a bottle of Jim Beam and she lies to you. That's when you learn the truth. If you're going through hell, keep on going, don't slow down. If you're scared, don't show it, you might get out, or the devil even knows you're there. Well, I've been deep down in that darkness, I've been down in my last match, filled 100 different demons, breathing fire down my back. And I knew that if I stumbled, I'd fall right into the trap that they were laying. Yeah. But the good news is there's angels everywhere out on the street, holding out a hand to pull you back up on your feet. The ones that you've been dragging for so long, you're on your knees, you might as well be praying. Guess what I'm saying, if you're going through